Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord for this college training. Are you enjoying this time? I am enjoying this time. Hallelujah. You know what time it is? It's gospel time. Oh, Lord Jesus, bring us into the gospel. Okay, so if you'll turn with me to your black tab, and we are on session two, it's message three. And why don't we read the title of this series that we're on this second session every morning. Okay, on your mark, get set, go. Preaching the gospel on the campuses. One more time. Yeah, okay. One more time. Preaching the gospel on the campuses. Yeah. The word. Okay. Okay, I hope you could begin to see there's actually a development here in this series of messages regarding the gospel. Okay, on Monday, the brother shared with us what's the first two basic equipments, pieces of equipment that we need for the preaching of the gospel. I heard the Spirit. And what's the second one? The body, right? We need the experience of the Spirit, and we need the experience of the body, right? To preach the gospel, Lord, I need you. I can never do it in myself. But you know what I also need? The body. Right? The first time I ever preached the gospel in my life, I was in 10th grade. I was pretty new to the church life. And I met a brother. I met him at a love feast. And he was 2 years my senior. And he asked me, he says, Tom, let's meet. And we're going to meet at the PE field. And I thought, okay, I can handle that. And so I met him at the gate. We were in a high school campus of about 3,000 students. And this brother's 2 years my senior. He's more bold than I am. And so he says, brother, let's pray. And I'm like really new. But anyway, I was beginning to enjoy the Lord, taste the Lord. And so we prayed. And then the brother said, you know what? Let's preach the gospel. The gospel. I don't know. His name was Fred. And then he panned the scene of the, you know, there's the handball courts, there's the track and field, the football court, the stadium. And he says, let's go preach the gospel to that guy. You know who that guy was? My best friend. My heart really sank. Lord, out of 3,000 students, how can we go preach the gospel to Dale Lash? I knew him since elementary school. We were like this. But my life had begun to take another path. After I got saved, and then I met the saints, met the church, and it became gospel time. Anyway, I won't get into all that happened there at the court. But my point is, you know what I needed to preach the gospel? Yes, I need the Spirit. What else did I need? The body. I wouldn't have done that in 100 years. But I just followed my brother. I just followed the body, right? I need the body to preach the gospel. Okay, then yesterday the brother shared, what else do we need? Prayer, right? Prayer is actually the power behind what we speak. Plus something else, right? We're going to touch today. We pray. We need to pray for our friends. We need to pray together. We need to pray for their salvation. We need to bind the enemy. Right? Scott did a wonderful job sharing on how we need this equipment. Right? Before we speak to man, I need to speak to God in prayer. But I need more than that, right? I think one of the brothers also shared, right, that, or maybe this was at a maybe at the dinner table. I was with another brother, and they've been praying for this one individual for a month. And then the brothers eventually told this brother, hey, we're not going to pray for him anymore until you speak to him. They're just praying. Eventually, what do we have to do? I need to speak the Word of God. I need to speak the Word to people. Right? But then tomorrow, we'll touch another line. But this is all part of our equipment. You know what else I need to preach the gospel? Home. Companions. We'll get into it tomorrow. The brothers will. Then we need, the fifth thing is a daily life, a proper daily living, and a universal love. So this whole series, this whole week, is giving us the equipment. But I would say today, today's outline, today's portion, as this song explicitly says, there's something very specific we need. That's the Word. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need to speak the Word. Right? You know, I heard a brother testify one time that he was moving out of his neighborhood and moving into another neighborhood. But other saints were moving right into the home that he had been living in. And so they had made the move, and the new believers, new saints had moved into the home where this brother previously lived and got talking to the neighbor. And the neighbor said to these new saints that just moved into the neighborhood, they said, you know, I really appreciate the people that used to live here. They're really good Mormons. Oh, Lord Jesus. They had the daily living. They had the universal love. They had an expression that other people perceived as goodness. But you know what was lacking? They never spoke the Word. The Word defines who you are. The Word will penetrate people. The Word will touch people. And it will define who you are. Am I a Mormon? No! I'm a Christian. I am a living, regenerated Christian. And I need to let people know it. But how do I do it? I do it through the Word. Okay, so we want to walk through this outline. And we want to see the second basic way. Why don't we read Roman numeral 1 all together? Okay, the first basic way was prayer. Okay, the second basic way is the Word. Okay, now for time's sake, we're just going to kind of move quickly through A through E. So brothers, why don't you read A? Awesome. So they were filled with the Spirit, and what spontaneously happened? They spoke the Word of God. Right? You get filled with the Spirit, something wants to flow out of you. That needs to be the Word of God. Okay. Sisters, B. So this is Acts 4. Peter actually began speaking in chapter 2. He's filled with the Spirit. He's speaking the Word of God. And then in chapter 3, him and John are just, right, we read it yesterday, at the hour of prayer, they're going to the temple. And there's a lame man there who's been there for decades. And the lame man reaches out to them, looking to get a material gift from them. But then it's awesome. Peter says to him, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, this I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the guy rose up and walked. He's healed. Well, then Peter begins to, he continues to speak the word. Well, for the lame man, that's awesome. And for many others, that's awesome. And they're hearing the word, and actually thousands are getting saved. But the religious ones are all stirred up. And they arrest Peter. And what is the first thing they charge him to do? Don't speak. Peter, don't speak. John, shut up. What does the enemy want you to do? What does the enemy want you to do on your college campus? He wants us to. Oh, Lord Jesus. We need to fight against the silence. We need to pray, Lord, give me somebody in this class. Give me somebody this semester who I can speak to. I want to fight against the enemy who wants to keep me silent. The enemy always wants our mouth to be. Well, brothers, read C. Hallelujah. Did Peter shut up? Oh, amen. He rose up and he spoke all the more. Then, brothers, read D. Wow. Awesome, awesome. So they put him in prison, and then the angel comes and releases them. And what does the angel tell them to do? Go. Oh, you're on the mark, Peter. Yeah, it's causing trouble, but that's okay. Keep going. Go. Stand. Don't waver. Just stand and speak to the people all the words of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. May the Lord gain us to stand and speak. But praise the Lord, we don't have to stand by ourselves. I was so glad I had my brother Fred. I could stand with Fred. And we could stand together. And we could preach the gospel together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you for standing and speaking the words of this life. We have many words to speak. Okay, sisters, E. Hallelujah. So what happened in Jerusalem? Jerusalem was filled with the apostles. Right? This is the basic way to preach the gospel. You might be thinking, give me a method. Give me something, how to do it. Well, the main thing to do is speak the word. Just speak the word of God. We'll get into a few details. But anyway, it's awesome. They spoke the word. And then, let's see, where are we? Brothers, is it your turn on F? Go ahead. Okay. So in Acts 6:7, yeah, it says the word of God grew. For something to grow, it has to be full of life. Right? Even the outline says a lifeless thing can never grow, but the word grows. Actually, the multiplication of the disciples depends upon the growth of the word. People believed in the word, received the word, And the word became so prevailing in that it grew and multiplied. You know what's going on this week? Is not the word growing? Hallelujah. It's growing in the hearts of men. Oh Lord, it's growing in my heart. I pray it's growing in your heart. It's multiplying. It's prevailing. It's effective. It's operating. It's living within us. It's a living, dynamic factor. Right? The Word is not a dead doctrine. The Word, the preaching of the gospel, is not a communication of knowledge or information about God. It's a seed called the Word of God. And it gets implanted into people. And it changes their life. Hallelujah for the Word of God. It's a growing matter, right? It's a growing factor. It's a dynamic factor, right? You know, the other place it's mentioned that the word grew is in Acts 12. You know, they had, in these early chapters, it was all religious persecution. In Acts 12, it's Herod, it's the king, it's the political, it's the worldly persecution. Herod puts Peter in prison again. Sometimes you got to be careful. You open your mouth, does everyone just roll out the red carpet every time? Say, oh, Matt, thank you for sharing. Dale Ash wasn't that thankful that I shared. Actually, I didn't really say anything. I let Fred say everything. But I was still standing with him, right? What happened to Herod? Yeah. It says an angel struck Herod down and worms consumed him and he died. But you know what the very next verse says? But the word of God grew mightily. Don't be afraid of the opposition. They'll die. The worms will devour them. Have trust in the word of God. Have confidence in the word of God. It will grow mightily. Yeah, there'll be opposition. But Lord, as the song says, may we not fear the people's frown. Right? Our confidence is in the Word of God. You know, I'll tell you this story. I was, kind of a gospel meeting I was in Denton. And, this is several years back. And, we had some students there. And I'm, we're kind of mulling around, talking and eating. And, so I was talking to this one student. And, the more I talked to him, if I just went by his appearance, even inwardly my thought was, Tom, give it up. Just looking at his face, he's not interested. He's not open. But on the other hand, there was something deeper on the inside and said, keep speaking. Speak in faith. I have confidence in the Word. And I just spoke the gospel to him, regardless of how his face looked. And you know what he was doing within about 3 minutes? Oh, Lord Jesus, I receive you. I want you. I am a sinner. I confess and I receive you as my life. Awesome. Our confidence is not in the people's face. Our confidence is in the Word of God. It's powerful. It's effective, right? Let the enemy be devoured, but let the Word grow, right? Hallelujah for the Word, right? Okay, we better go on. Let's see. On G, let me just read this to you. It says, we must be impressed that the divine word is what we really need. And we should be one with the word, full of the word, saturated with the word, and constituted with the word. Then when we minister, pick this up. We minister the word by the Spirit. You know, when most people look at Acts, you know what they stress? You know what they pay attention to? Primarily the Spirit. And they emphasize the Spirit. We don't have time, but if you follow through Acts, wow, chapter after chapter, yes, the Spirit is their filling, essentially and economically. But you know what is also going on? Is the speaking of the Word. The ministry of the Word. Even in Acts 6:4, it says, the apostle said, we will give ourselves to continue steadfastly in prayer. That's our first basic way. Prayer and the ministry of the Word. Okay, you have to consider this. And actually, the reading brings this out in a very good way. If you understand what I mean, do you minister the Spirit? Or do we minister the Word? I had to think about this. If you read the reading, actually, Brother Lee shares, in Acts, the emphasis is on the ministry of the Word. You can't preach the Spirit. You can't preach life outside of the Word. The Word is the conveyor. The Word is the medium. The Word is the way. You have to minister it with the Spirit. But you ever have this time, you know, you're with somebody. And even, you know, you're trying to share the gospel with them. Jesus satisfies. Jesus makes you happy. Jesus will fill you with joy. And, you know, you try to share a few things. But there's no Word there. There's no Word. And nothing may happen with them. Because we need to minister the Word. We minister the Word by the Spirit. We don't really minister the Spirit merely. We need the Word. The Spirit uses the Word to convict people, to touch people. And this is what you see as the basic way in Acts, was the ministry of the Word. Okay, so if you're going to minister the Word, you know what you need? I need a constitution. I need to be full of the Word. You can't give what you don't have. No one's ever asked me to teach calculus. I've had one semester of calculus. I can't teach it. I can't give what I don't have. So, Lord, I need to be in the Word. Okay, why don't we read H all together? To reconstitute the people of God. So I'd just like to pick up one word in this phrase, in this outline point, and that is something happens through our daily reading of the divine Word. The Word of God works within us, and the Spirit, through the Word, spontaneously dispenses God's nature with God's element into our being. Right? Praise the Lord for daily reading. May we never despise our daily reading of the Word. Right? You may not even consider that much is going on. But through your reading and through some turning of your heart, right, as the brothers have been sharing about this morning time, to have fellowship with the Lord, with the Word, through personal contact. My. Something of the Word is getting written in your inner being, right? And something of God's organic life is getting incorporated into you to become your constitution, okay? Well,
we want to get this, make this a little more practical. So we'll go on to Roman numeral 2. Brothers, why don't you read Roman numeral 2? Okay, sisters A. Okay, to me this is very helpful. When you begin to present the gospel and the truth, you should not speak your own word, right? I don't know if you've ever considered this before, but you know, in Luke 24, you have the resurrected Christ, okay? And there's a story there in Acts 20, in Luke 24, where the Lord, there's two disciples. And they're kind of bummed because Christ has died. They're confused. They don't know. They thought he was coming to establish the kingdom. But now he's been delivered and given the sentence of death. And then they're confused because the sisters have already found out that he's not there in the tomb. The angel said to the women, they testified, he's living. But the other disciples went and they never saw him. So these two disciples, they're like, man, I'm out of here. And they're walking out of Jerusalem down to Emmaus. And it's a sweet story. I encourage you to read it. Luke 24. What is it? It's 13 through 35. But I want to use it to illustrate, I think, a very precious matter. Okay, so these two disciples are walking down the road to Emmaus. The Lord Jesus, in his resurrected state, yet he appears as he still is a man, and he walks with them, and they don't recognize him. They have a conversation with him, and then eventually, you know what the Lord Jesus does? Think about this. This is the resurrected Christ. They don't recognize him. You would think he could say, hey guys, it's me. What do you want me to do? You know, hey, I can touch the ceiling. Right? Right? I'm in my resurrected state. I'm out of this, the human shell of its limitation. I still have my humanity, but I'm not in that physical state merely. Did the Lord do anything like that? How about this? Did the Lord even use his own words to speak to them? It's shocking. You know what the resurrected Christ did? In verse 27 it says, and beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, the resurrected Christ explained clearly in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Did the Lord, even the resurrected Christ, did he use his own words? He used the scriptures. And what did he do with the scriptures? There's something to be conveyed. There's something to be revealed through the scriptures. You know what it is? Christ. Oh, it's Christ. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. But you know what? That demands my constitution. Can I just pick up the Bible and reveal Christ to somebody? Well, it depends. Are you in your daily reading? Are you getting constituted? Are you seeing Christ in the Word? I can't give what I don't have. Right? You know, Acts 8, this is also the way of the apostles. You know, you look at Acts 8, you know, you may know the story. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I love this account. Because Philip asked a very genuine question. Philip ran up, this is verse 30. Philip ran up to the chariot and realized that this Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you really know the things that you are reading? And I love the Ethiopian's response. Very genuine. He said, how could I? Unless someone guides me.
How can I understand the Scriptures unless someone guides me?
And he entreated Philip. Philip, come up
and sit with me. Right here.
Sit with me. Now the passage of Scripture that the Ethiopian was reading, it gives the account in Isaiah. You know, it's kind of interesting. Did Philip kind of like, oh, boy, this is Isaiah.
I really like this Psalm. Why don't we turn to Psalm? Right? But Philip was constituted right where the eunuch was reading. Ah, no problem. You know what's here? Christ. And Philip revealed Christ to the Ethiopian. And then what happens? The guy gets saved. And then the guy sees water and says, oh, water! What prevents me? Let's go and get baptized. Did Philip use his own words? Wow. He used the Scriptures. The Scriptures is how we minister God to people. Oh, Lord, fill me with the Scriptures. Fill me with the Word.
Okay, the Bible's a big book. Are you going to put all 66 chapters, all 66 books into you in one day? No. Okay, let's keep reading the outline. This is very helpful. The most effective way to lead people is to use the Bible. Hence, we should know appropriate verses for every topic. In gospel preaching, the way to close the deal is to use the Word. This is very important. Yeah. Okay. Let me just read a little bit so we can take care of the outline, then I'll come back. The Word is living. If we put the Word into people and help them to apprehend it in a living way, they will be saved by this Word. We should find effective and appropriate verses and memorize them. How about that? If we do not know where the verses are and spend our time searching the pages of the Bible, the listener will be distracted. If you present them a short portion of the Bible and say something in brief, according to the notes in the Recovery Version, you know what? This will surprise and impress them. This will stir up their respect and give them confidence in what you present. Okay, I am running out of time, but I do want to try to help make this practical. The outline mentions appropriate verses. Okay. You know what? Let's read the next one, and then I'll continue. See, you also need to know the contents of the booklet entitled The Mystery of Human Life. You do not need to use the entire book or booklet. When you talk to a particular person, you may have the realization that the last key would be very good for them. Simply use that one key and open the door with it. Okay. So this means, Lord, I need appropriate verses in my constitution. So when I meet somebody in my math class, somebody in my science class, I do have something to say. You know, in a very simple way, you know what some appropriate verses would be? In two verses, you can communicate the process of the triune God. How about John 1:14 and 1 Corinthians 15:45? The Word became flesh. So you can, in a very simple way, you could share how God, even, you know, you can add a little bit of your feeling and experience that, you know, God, I feel God is so far from me. He's so remote from me. I feel maybe he's just a big judge that's going to slam me someday. But you know what is precious? There's something that the Bible tells us, friend, that the Word, that's God. You know what this God became? He became a man. John 1:14. He became flesh. Wow. Now is this God so far? Now is this God that remote from you?
He's right there next to you. But is that sufficient? Well, it's sufficient to die. This one came. God was incarnated as a man. He lived a perfect human life. He died on the cross for your sins. But in resurrection, He didn't just take away your sins on the cross. But in resurrection, there's another becoming. He became flesh, friend, and He also became the life-giving Spirit. Don't you need life sometimes? Don't you feel dead and weighted down by sin and by this world? Don't you feel death within you sometimes? Wow, you know who God is? You know who Christ is? He's the life-giving Spirit. He wants to give life to you. All you need to do is open. And you can receive Him right now as the life-giving Spirit. And you will be full of life.
Anyway, those two verses are just a simple little example of some appropriate verses. John 1:14, 1 Corinthians 15:45. The mystery of human life is full of short little openings of the Word. Right? And then let me just say this, because the outline also mentions this, that we need to learn how to close the deal. Right? You know, to me, one of the most helpful verses in leading someone to really receive Christ is Romans 10:9. Right? You know, let me just read it to you real quick. It says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So, friend, you know what? You know, let me just tell you this. I was actually at Northwestern University, and it was me and another brother, and we were sharing the gospel. And we were speaking to this guy in the lobby of the dorm. And he had been raised in a mainstream denomination. But he knew he had never been saved. And we're speaking to him. And then I'll never forget this. But I just felt inwardly the Lord told me, Tom, shut up. Enough said. The guy wants to get saved. But no one, he knows the basic gospel. But no one ever closed the deal with this young man. He was a freshman or a sophomore at Northwestern University here in Chicago. And so we led him, I believe it was Romans 10:9. You know what's so helpful about this verse? It tells you the two parts of your being that you need to exercise to receive Christ. What are they? Your heart and your mouth. What do you do with your heart? Believe. I love this. It doesn't say you believe with your mind. A lot of times we get in a debate with people. That's not the point. It's a heart matter. You're pointing to their heart. We need to help people believe with their heart. You can tell people, tell them that they can tell God, I don't even know if you exist. But if you're real, come into me. They just need to believe with their heart, not with their mind. And then what do they need to do with their mouth? Huh? You got to open it up and confess with your mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Right? And it was awesome. That young man, we just encouraged him to pray. We actually led him in prayer. He confessed with his mouth. He believed in his heart. And you know what happened? He got saved. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We closed the deal. So anytime you're in the gospel, don't forget Romans 10:9. Mouth and heart. Mouth and heart. Right? Okay. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I am out of time. And is it okay if I just stop here, brothers? What should I do? Do you want me to finish reading the outline? What's that? Really? Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah, amen. D. We should fill ourselves up with all the materials related to the truth of the gospel. Right? I wish I had more time, but Ephesians 1:13 says, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Just get yourself filled up with the word of the truth. Don't worry about which one per se. Just get a word of truth in you, and that word of truth can become the gospel of someone's salvation. But you need a variety. You know, the outline reading mentions you need to have like a medicine cabinet. Right? Right? We were preaching the gospel one time at UT Austin, and we shared with this guy how man is empty. You're empty. You're an empty vessel. You need to be filled with God. He was a PhD student from Korea. You know what? It didn't touch him. You know what? I think, I'm a PhD student. What do you mean I'm empty? I'm going somewhere with my life. Okay, so you know what? We switched. And we shared another word of truth to him. Within a minute or two, we realized, this ain't penetrating. Okay. Well, you might say, well, he's not open. I had another closed person. Let's go. Well, maybe it's a problem with me. So we switched to another word of truth. We talked about the hand and the glove. We talked about how he was made in God's image. And sir, you're a VIP. You're a very important person. You are made to contain God and express him to the universe. And he said, wow. How can I? And you know what? And then in a minute, he's praying to receive Christ. He heard another word of truth. And it became the gospel of his salvation. Lord, fill us with words of truth. I encourage you, read the publications. They will fill you with the word of truth. I told one brother, if there was not Living Stream Ministry, I could not serve full time. But I know I can serve full time because I've got Fort Knox behind me. It's an amazing storage of the word of truth. And if I can close with this, brothers, I feel the Lord has entrusted us with so much. So much of the word he has opened to us. And we have a responsibility. There is a hungry world out there. And it's full of young people. I don't have time to fully tell the story, but I was on an airplane flying to Anaheim. And I was sitting next to a young man. And as I was sitting next to him, he was reading the Bible on his phone. He had a hood on, you know, one of these sweatshirts and these hoodies. And he had the window seat. I was in the middle seat. And he was just kind of crunched over. But, you know, because he's kind of hiding, I could easily tell, man, this guy's reading the Bible. And he's kind of big and, he wouldn't, I didn't expect him to see that. And I'm trying to, just kind of get his attention, but he's just so crunched up. Anyway, eventually we got some water, and he kind of had to straighten up to drink. And so I took the opportunity and I said, oh, excuse me, sir, I realized, you're reading the Bible. Yeah. And I said, oh, you must be a Christian. You know what he told me? He said, no, I'm not a Christian. And I said, oh, really? How long have you been reading the Bible? And he said, 2 months. And I said, let me get a hold of this. You're not a Christian. And you're reading the Bible. And you've been reading this for 2 months. He's about 20 years old. Maybe 23. And I said, why? You know what he turned around and he looked at me to the eye and he says, because life is empty. Life is empty. Well, I didn't use my own words. Praise the Lord, I had one of these. And I pulled this out and we just read. We didn't even read the whole thing.
I think we read two keys, man. And at 36,000 feet, moving at 600 miles an hour, you know what this young man starts to do? We just bow down, you know, and we just, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. There's people all around, but this young man got saved. Oh hallelujah! You know who that young man turned out to be? Now actually, one of the brothers, he's in my dorm this. You know, during the training here, and I was singing this hymn, and he says, "Brother, Misi said this to me. He said, why don't you all sing something else? I'm just singing hymn." And anyway, I just shared, "Well, I enjoy what gives me life, brother. So I don't know. I just sing what gives me life." But anyway, this young man on the airplane, he, you know what he does for a living? He told me. He writes songs. He's a songwriter. For Chris Brown and Rihanna. Right? Did I get the name right? I wasn't really sure who these people were. But they are mainstream rock singers. But you know what he told me? Life is empty. Life is empty. Dominique is his name. Oh Lord, we owe this world. We owe this generation to speak the word of truth. Amen. It's a hungry generation. Oh Lord, may we speak it. And I would say you are at the best location. You're at the best fishing pond. Right? Oh Lord, may we practice. Right? May we, and may we do it in the body. And I believe a lot can get saved. Oh Lord, I better stop here, brothers.